We've just looked in depth at Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to now pick back up, not Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, but just Sunday mornings until we finish this glorious book of Hebrews. We just finished Hebrews 11 and looked at faith, and we've learned a lot about faith. Now, have you ever wondered after reading a powerful chapter like Hebrews chapter 11, that after learning about faith and even trying to grow in faith, you might start to wonder, well, why am I not growing in faith, the faith that I've just read about? Why is my faith not growing any stronger since we started out on this quest of learning about faith in Hebrews 11? You might even wonder, why does not my faith not resemble the faith of those individuals that we've looked at in Hebrews chapter 11? Why don't I see the victories that I've been looking for and seeing the answers to prayer that I've been praying about? And instead of your faith growing stronger, it seems like your faith instead is growing weaker. Even after the last month and a half or so that we've been exploring Hebrews 11, which is a powerful chapter on faith. And yet, the more we study faith and we study the power of faith in these lives, yet it seems like our faith is actually getting weaker. In fact, perhaps your faith is, instead of being described in Hebrews 11, it's described more in Hebrews 12, verse 3, at the end where it says that you're wearied and faint in your minds. Perhaps that's how you feel your faith is this morning. That word minds can also be translated soul. That phrase in verse 3 is actually talking about a spiritual exhaustion. Perhaps an emotional tiredness. Sometimes even a mental weariness in the work of the Lord. It could even talk about a physical exhaustion. Even after looking at a powerful chapter of Hebrews 11, you feel that you in faith give and give and give some more, but spiritually, emotionally, mentally, you have no more to give as a Christian. Perhaps you feel like you're spiritually burned out. Kind of ironic that the Lord brought this message to us after a tiring week of vacation Bible school and other projects that have been going around in this church. And I know that there are many people here this morning that are tired. They're weary. Physically, mentally, perhaps even spiritually drained. This message is for us this morning. Because even though we are wearied and faint in our minds, the Lord understands where we're coming from. He understands what our nature is. You know, when we are weary and faint in our minds, as it says in verse 3, this can affect our heart toward the Lord. It can affect how you worship the Lord. Sometimes you can tell the weariness in people's hearts and minds, especially when you stand up here and you hear the singing, and you see the weariness on the expressions of the people that are out there singing or even not singing. And you can tell that the weariness and the faintness of your mind and heart and soul, it can affect your worship of the Lord. Can't it? You know that there are some days that you come in and you feel excited about what the Lord has done for you. You're excited about what the Lord has done for you that week. And you can express that in praise to the Lord. And then there are other weeks where you're just kind of moping around and you're tired and you're not feeling well physically, mentally, spiritually. And it comes out in your singing and it's just not as vibrant as you wanted it to be. When you're weary and faint in your minds and your soul, it can affect your heart toward the Lord in worship. It can also affect your service. You can tell whether you're weary and faint in your mind by how you serve. You know, it was exciting this week as we saw a young person after young person come, and it was exciting to see it build up. But toward the end of the week, I could see the weariness and the tiredness of the bodies and the minds and the workers. And, you know, many hands make light work, and it was great to have all the people working and serving in different capacities all this week. Yet, it drains you, doesn't it? You can see how that strength starts to ebb and starts to deteriorate. The Lord understands this. And there are times that we might be weary in our service for the Lord because we're weary and faint in our minds. Not only does it affect your heart toward the Lord, your service for the Lord, but it can also affect your relationships. Have you ever been tired? And in your family, you start to sense a testiness. Sometimes we can see a testiness in people, even here in the church. You know, it's the words that you say and how you say those words, which is what we're going to be talking about on Sunday night. So come back and hear what the Lord teaches us about our communication. But there can be a testiness, and this is evidence of being wearied and faint in your minds. And that is what these first four verses of Hebrews chapter 12 were written all about. You see, God knows that life in this world can be stressful. He understands that. People call it a rat race sometimes because we feel like we're a rat going through a race of a maze. You've seen those where they have a maze and they put a rat in there and they try to put a little piece of cheese at the end and they want to see how fast those rats can go. And what's at the end of that race for that rat? A little piece of cheese, and then they go back into their cage. A lot of fun life for a rat, huh? Sometimes we feel like that. Seems like we're just running around trying to get a piece of cheese, and then we go back to the beginning, back to the starting gate. Seems like we don't get very far, very fast. Sometimes we can feel like that. God understands that life in this world can be stressful. In fact, it was meant to be. Adam and Eve were meant to work. And after the fall especially, the Lord said that there's going to be some consequences to your sin. In other words, you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. Life is going to feel like a rat race, but the ultimate goal was not so that they could achieve certain things and just at the end of their life be tired and just say, well, look what I've done. The purpose of the way life feels sometimes and the stresses of life is to draw you back to the one who can give you true rest. This is why God makes this life stressful. And that is why we have stresses in our life and circumstances that come into our way and into our path so that we can go back to the Lord. Share with Him that we need His strength. God also knows that life as a Christian can be stressful. After all, we just finished looking in Hebrews 11 that describes the suffering that the people of faith will experience. Do you remember that? If you look back in Hebrews 11, verse 36, it talks about people that were had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. They were in bonds and imprisonment. Some were stoned. Some were sawn asunder. Some were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute, afflicted, and tormented. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. It was talking about suffering, and God knows the stresses of living a Christian life. It wasn't meant to be an easy walk. It was meant so that we, with these stresses that come into our lives as Christians and these sufferings that we will face, it was meant so that we will go back to God for the strength to go through those trials and sufferings. God also knows that the life of faith can be difficult because faith is not natural to us. Living the life of faith, by faith, these men and women lived in Hebrews 11. You see that phrase, by faith, throughout that chapter. But that faith, living by that faith, is not something natural to our human fallen nature. We live by our passions. We live by the things that satisfy our needs. And the Lord says, I know you. I know your fallen nature. I know your human nature. I know your weaknesses. And that is why God shares what is necessary so that we can have a grown faith. He describes what that faith is like in Hebrews 11. Now he describes how we can become like the people that we've read about in Hebrews 11. God shares with us what's necessary. That word wherefore in verse 1 of Hebrews 12 basically is pointing back to Hebrews 11 and says, this is how they had to live by faith, and this is how you have to live by faith. It's the same way. Basically, instead of running a spiritual rat race, like sometimes we feel like we're doing throughout the week, you and I can run the right race with a growing faith in God. So let's read our text for this morning, verses 1 through 4. Keeping in mind what we've just learned about faith in Hebrews 11, the writer of Hebrews begins, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Then he adds, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. If you come this morning and you are wearied and faint in your mind, the Lord gives us some areas that we need to develop in our faith. Faith is not something that is passive only. Faith is something that is active. In order for you and I to become men and women of faith, we need to exercise this faith that God has given to us. We need to exercise it, just like in order for us to be strong in a race, which is one of the illustrations that this passage talks about, in order to be strong for a race, you and I need to exercise the muscles that God has given to us in order to win the race or make it through the race. Not too long ago, we had the mini marathon here in Indianapolis, some 13 miles, I think it is. And some people run, some people walk. We have a friend that of our family that was given the entry form so that she could enter into this particular race. And when she told me that she received it just 2 days before the race, I thought, boy, I hope you've been practicing. I hope you've been exercising. Because if you just say 2 days before a 13-mile race, I'm going to go and enter, you may not make it through that race, even though it's only 13 miles. And yet, as she was talking to me, she had been exercising. It wasn't something that she had planned on doing, but she was walking on a daily basis. She was lifting weights. She was getting exercise, strengthening her muscles, exercising the muscles God gave her so that she could go out and walk that race, that mini marathon. And she made it through. All 13 miles in some 3.5 hours, she said. I was impressed because I don't think I could have done it because I hadn't exercised my muscles in that way. Same thing here. We learn about faith. We learn all about the aspects of faith in Hebrews 11, and then we find out how we get that kind of faith. How you and I can be included in this chapter is by exercising the faith that God has given to us, and we're going to see some ways in which we do this. If you are weary and faint, first of all, in order for you to exercise your faith, in order to become a man and woman who lives by faith, first you need a proper motivation. A proper motivation. We see this in the first part of verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That word seeing in verse 1 can also be translated having. It talks about a possession that you and I have if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you started out this race as a Christian, this is something that you and I have. No one else can take it away from you. Basically, what we have is a great fellowship with everyone else that has gone before us in faith. A fellowship that we talked about last Sunday with everyone that we've read about in Hebrews chapter 11. A fellowship that teaches us that we are not the first to experience challenges in the Christian life. This is something we need to realize. Sometimes I've talked to Christians and it's like they're the only people that have ever suffered for Christ. The Bible says you are not alone. You are not the first person to experience challenges in your Christian faith, nor will you be the last. You are also not the only one to experience challenges in your Christian faith, because you have a whole host of witnesses that have gone on before you, and a whole host of witnesses that will come after you. And if you truly realize this and understand that you are not alone, this should motivate you and encourage you to continue on in the faith that God has given you. Now, I've mentioned many times that it's a small world, especially when you're in the household of faith. And as someone mentioned, I think Marty mentioned, it's a small world when you realize that there's a lot of believers out there. It's kind of interesting. My brother, as he was returning and visiting with us after he had gone in February and met with some of the folks that he was working with in Zambia, he started talking about some of the people that he would be working with, and he gave some names. And I immediately started thinking, hey, I know that person. I know that person that you're going to be working with. He was in my class when I was down at college. And then he was describing some other names. And my wife was like, hey, I know some of those people. They went to my nursing classes when I was at school. And it turned out to be such a small world, really, because we knew quite a few of the people that he would be working with. We need to realize that this Christian life that God has given to us, even in the challenges and the struggles and the stresses that we face, we are not alone. And this is a proper motivation for us to continue on in the service of God. What is this fellowship like? It teaches us what this fellowship is like in verse 1. This fellowship is so great, it says. That means it's a large host. It's not just a small, minute group of people. Rather, if you consider all the believers from the past and all the believers that will come in the future, this is a host that is so large that you cannot even count them. It's not just the ones that are mentioned in Hebrews 11. It's everyone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, even people that you and I will never, ever know their name until we get to heaven. There is a vast host of believers in heaven today. that are witnesses of what God can do through you and for you through faith. This fellowship is also, it describes it like a cloud, like a dense cloud, a dense fog. Sometimes it's scary to drive in a fog, but what if you're in a familiar, friendly territory? I've told this illustration before, and I don't do this anymore, but I remember growing up in upstate New York. I got my license, and one of the thrills that I had as a teenager was on a foggy morning, and in upstate New York, it was foggy just about every morning, and I would love to drive fast in the fog up and down the hills of New York. I loved it. Why? Because I knew where the roads were. I knew where they would lead. And it gave me kind of a rush. And I don't recommend that. That was a stupid thing to do as a kid. But it was easy for me to do it because I knew where the roads would lead. And it was a thrill to me, and I loved doing that. And we need to realize that we have a dense cloud of witnesses that God has placed in our path so that we realize that we're not alone. It's like a comfortable blanket that envelops us and encourages us along. Not only is it so great a cloud like a dense fog, but it also gives life-giving moisture. You know, the clouds that have been going over ahead the last couple of days has actually given us some benefit. The last few times that we've seen clouds go over, I'm hoping, and I see this dark cloud go over our house, I'm thinking, okay, my grass needs a little bit of water, and it keeps going, and there's no water. We get drought conditions that way, kind of like the moderate drought that we're experiencing. And yet the clouds recently have just been so wonderful, saturated with the cool, refreshing water. And it's going to refresh the ground. It revives our spirits. It's going to replenish our wells. And this is what these people of God that have gone before us do. It's like a refreshing cloud that will encourage us and motivate us along the way. This fellowship is a fellowship of witnesses. Now, this can be witnesses about us, you know, kind of cheering on those that are continuing on, cheering us on in the faith, but I believe these are more witnesses of what God has done. You realize that if you don't really care what God thinks about how you run this race, you're not going to care what anybody else thinks about you running this race. You know, I've heard it said, well, think about the people, your parents, for example, if they've died and gone to heaven, think about what they might be seeing in your life. You know, if you're not motivated by what God sees in your life, you're not going to be motivated about what grandpa or dad or mom is seeing about your life in heaven. Okay? So I believe this witness isn't just talking about them seeing what we're doing and encouraging us along. I believe it's the witness that we have in the Word of God. Them describing God and His goodness and His grace and pointing us not to themselves saying, look at our faith and look what we've done, but look what God has done. And as we look at their lives and how their lives reflected the goodness of God, then we will be motivated and encouraged to continue on this life of faith. That is the motivation that we have. One of the greatest motivations that we have to live by faith mentioned here are the lives of other believers. Like we mentioned last week, their successes. It's thrilling to hear the successes of other believers. Their strength, how God took someone that was weak and made them strong and powerful and mighty. Even their hope, the hope of life that God gives them, and even their sufferings. This is why I believe it's good for us to read Christian biographies. Why it's important to learn about the lives of Christian men and women. Biblical, and even those that have lived after the Bible was written. Because as we read about the lives of believers and their growth in the Lord and their walk of faith, as one preacher once put it, fire begets fire. If you read about the fire in the heart of another believer, you know what's going to happen? It's going to put fire in your heart. This has happened to me, and I would encourage you sometime today, head back to our library. There's a few biographies. Pull one out. Start reading these biographies. Look in the Bible about biographies. This is what we did all week with our kids at Vacation Bible School. Biblically, we talked about the life of David. And you could just see the lives of these kids soaking in what they learned about David, and they also wanted to live like David, a man after God's own heart. Then my wife was teaching, as you learn about these, to be one of them. Strive to be a believer that others can look back on, write a biography about, and say, look at this kind of faith that was in God, and God used in a powerful way. Wouldn't you like to be known as one of those great cloud of witnesses? This is a motivation for us. We need this kind of motivation when you're weary and faint. But also, if you're weary in faith, secondly, you need a proper preparation. A proper preparation. It goes on in verse 1 and says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Again, these verses use a race as an illustration for living by faith. To run a good race requires preparation. So does living by faith. It's not magical. It requires hard work. To prepare, there's some things that you need to do. There's some things that you might need to shed, and there's some things that you will need to shun. And we see both of these things. Sometimes there are weights, things that will hold you back that you need to release yourself of and shed. Perhaps there's a burden that you brought to church this morning that is preventing you from serving in a vibrant, passionate way. Something that is making you weary in faith. You know what you need to do with that weight and that burden? You need to bring it to the Lord and leave it there. You need to leave it there. Sometimes there are things that aren't just sinful, but there's things that bring you away from God. Things in this life that are drawing you away from God. They're not sinful in and of themselves, but they bring your attention off of God onto your own circumstances. Those are the weights that you need to strive to get rid of, to lay aside. But what about those sins? Those are some things that you need to shun. Those sins that easily beset you or easily ensnare you. You and I, every morning when we get up, we need to think about the sins that you are so easily beset by. You and I, you know your heart. I know my heart. This last week I was actually starting to alliterate the areas in my life that I struggle with. And I'm not going to list it here for you, but I was starting to alliterate. And of course, like any good preacher, I've got three of them right now that I'm going to daily work on and try to shun those sins. And in the morning, I'm going to say, God, these are the areas. Help me to overcome this. Help me to see you through this. Help me to pray for your strength in this. And we need to actively, not passively, but actively shun these sins to prepare us for the race that God has set before us. This is how you live a life of faith, guys. This is how you live the kind of faith that we see in Hebrews 11. It's an act of faith. It's not just getting up and just kind of walking around and doing your own thing. It is an active preparation for the day so that God can use you in the faith that He's given you. In order to prepare, these things must be laid aside. Basically, it means you aren't to go back and pick them up. You've seen a runner. Sometimes as they're running, they'll come to a station of aid, and there's people that are running along and passing water out. Not too long ago, my family and I were riding our bikes on the Penzi Trail, and we came across Mark Judy, who was running. And poor guy, it was one of the hottest days so far this year, and he was sweating, and he was hot, and of course we had our water bottles on our bikes, and it's a whole lot easier to ride a bike than to run those, I think, 4 miles that he did. And as we came up, we were getting ready to leave, he jogged by, and he goes, "You're an answer to prayer, because I don't think I'm going to make it back." And I said, "Well, would you like some water?" Because I hadn't drank my bottle of water, and he said, "Oh, absolutely." So I gave him my bottle of water, and he drank that, and he was at the top of Penzi Trail, and he's going to continue to jog down, and my wife and I were a little concerned, because he didn't look too good. We thought, why don't we get to the end of the trail and see how he's coming, make sure that we still see someone, you know, standing, jogging, instead of laying down there in the ground. And so we did that. And we get there, and we waited a few minutes, and we see this figure jogging slowly. But he was making it. And I thought, well, I'll kind of be funny. So I grabbed another water bottle, and I stood there. And as he was jogging, I jogged there along with him, handing him the bottle. You've seen that when people are running a race? He just laughed. He drank some of the water and continued on. But you know what happens when those runners that are really serious about running, when they drink that water, what do they do with that bottle? Do they keep it with them? Throw it. Now, I don't think a good racer is going to go back and say, "Oh, I just littered. I'm going to go back and pick those up." Why? They're going to lose the race. That's a picture of what we need to do in faith, guys. We need to make sure that when we get that water bottle, those sins and those struggles, those weights, we need to throw it down, cast it away, and don't even give it a second thought, because we're looking unto Jesus, as it says in verse 2. But we need to have a proper preparation. We need to take our preparation seriously. I love what John Gill writes about this. He says, as a burden, it should be laid on Christ. As a sin, it should be abstained from and put off. We need to take that preparation seriously. Jesus said this about our sins that so easily beset us. In Mark 9:43, throughout, he says, "If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire." We need a proper preparation. But third, we also, when you're weary and faint, you need a proper application. It says in verse 1 at the very last phrase, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, How is it that these Hebrews 11 believers lived by faith? They ran with patience the race that was set before them. That's how we are going to do it. Now, our circumstances will be different than the circumstances they faced. Our actions may be different than their actions, but the faith and the patience must be the same. We need to run continually. Run continually. No matter what the hurdles and obstacles are, you need to keep on running. That word patient literally means to remain under. To remain under. It's as if there was a yoke that we had used for our vacation Bible school this last week. And it was a heavy piece of equipment. And I don't know if it was oxen or cow, for cows, but they put that on there and it's a heavy thing. And sometimes there are some sufferings and some struggles that we're going to face that we're going to have to go through. The Bible says that we need to run with patience, bearing under some of the burdens that we have. Again, as John Gill says, laying it upon the Lord, but keeping on. Keep on keeping on. We need to continue on running this race. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because if you give up, you cannot live by faith. This is a continual thing. Not only must you run continually, you must run content. That word, that phrase, whatever is set before you, this is something that God, in His goodness and in His grace, has given you. He has set before you and me our own race. I don't run Brother Andy's race, and he doesn't run my race. We have our own race to run that God has given to us in His providence. He knows that path. He has given to us what we, through His power and strength, can handle. And He wants us to run content. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Are we constantly murmuring and complaining and grumbling about what God has set before us? That race, that pathway that He has set before us? Because if we are grumbling and complaining, we're not going to be running this race by faith. We need to look in our own hearts and take a look at our attitudes and adjust our attitudes if we are grumbling. And instead of grumbling, become content by looking at the Lord, which we'll look at here in a minute. But also, run committedly. Run committedly. 1 Corinthians 9:4, Paul says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. This is how we ought to run our Christian life. Not saying that this is just something that's a pastime of mine. This is just something that I'm going to do with my life on occasion. I'm just going to darken the doors of the church so I can say that, oh, I've been to church this week. No, the Bible says that you can be a person of faith if you run with a commitment and a passion wholeheartedly, running so that you may obtain. Running so that you can obtain the prize and the crowns that God has for those that pursue after them. You know, when you are weary and faint, if you have this proper application and you run with the race with patience, the race that is set before you, the Lord is going to honor and reward your faithfulness. Fourth, if you are weary and faint, you also need a proper attention. In verse 2, it says, looking unto who? Jesus. Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. As important as the people in Hebrews 11 are, the most important is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it that we become faint and weary in our mind? Ultimately, it's because we're not looking to Jesus. We're looking at other people, comparing ourselves, grumbling about what has been set before us. We're looking at ourselves and our own weaknesses. The Bible says, change your attention. If you want to become a person who can live by the faith that will grow into strong faith, look to Jesus. After all, He is the only one that can develop your faith. He is the author and finisher. He's the one that starts it and will complete it. He's the one that through His Spirit will increase your faith into the kind of faith that will be strong like we've read here in Hebrews 11. You need to look to Jesus because He alone is the foundation of your faith. It describes for us here in verse 2 His crucifixion, where He, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. It describes His humiliation when He endured shame and despising the shame. He didn't even think twice about it. It also talks about His exaltation. It talks about His entire ministry. When He is setting that down right now at the right hand of the throne of God, all these things teach us that He is the one that our faith rests upon. And if our faith stops resting upon Him, we have no faith to live by. We also need to look unto Jesus because He alone is the example for your faith. just like we have our own race that is set before us. As it says here in verse 2, he also had a race set for him. That word set before him is the very same word that we see in verse 2. We see where Jesus' path and race led. What does it say? Who for the joy that was set before him. Do you realize that that is where our race will lead to? Our race will lead for the joy of God in Jesus Christ. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Don't take your eyes off Jesus when you're weary, when you're faint in your minds and your souls, you're physically, spiritually, emotionally exhausted. You need to take your eyes off your circumstances and look alone to the Lord Jesus Christ who will strengthen your faith. Not only do we need that proper attention, but if you're weary and faint, fifthly, you need a proper meditation. Verse says in verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. What you think about is so important as a Christian. What you think about will often determine the end result of your life of faith. Much like a driver on a cell phone. You've seen these people, haven't you? I almost got hit by one this week. I'm not sure where she was turning, but it looked like she was headed right for me. And she had a phone in one hand, and I'm not sure what the other hand was doing. But she was trying to steer that around the curve there at Apple and McKenzie, and I almost got hit. I gave her a little honk, and I went like this, you know, like, get off the phone, please, so you won't hit people. It's damaging. But what happens when someone is on the phone? They're thinking about something else rather than driving. That's happened to me before. My phone starts to ring, and I'm fumbling for my phone, and of course I'm using my knees to steer and trying to make sure I stay on the road. I finally get the phone, see who it is, and, you know, I might answer it. Hello? And I'm starting to think about everything else except for what I should be thinking about and concentrating on, and that's driving. What you think about is important in this life, but even more important as a Christian. What is your meditation on? What do you think about? Do you meditate upon Him? It says in verse 3, do you consider Him? You consider Christ? There's some things that you can think about. Think about His endurance. Think about what He endured. It says He endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. His power is what your faith is in. His power to endure is what we need to endure. You need to think about how He endured. You also need to think about His opposition. Literally, Christ's opposition was from cradle to grave. Herod at the beginning, the other Herod at the end, and people all in between opposed Christ. What makes us think that our life will be any different? We need to realize and meditate upon Christ, looking to Him, making sure He holds our attention and then meditating upon Him, because the Christian life is a life and faith of thinking. When you're weary in your mind and faint in your mind, it's because we're looking at the circumstances and we're not looking at Christ. Sometimes it's hard to meditate. That's why we need to give God the freshest times of our day, so that when we get struggling, when we get weary, we can go back and remember the things we've already thought about our Lord. There was a song that we used to sing when I was in high school and in youth group, and it was this. Did you wake up with your mind on the Lord? Did you wake up with your mind on the Lord? That's a good question that we need to answer every morning. Did you wake up with your mind on the Lord? Because this is the kind of meditation that will make us into men and women that live by faith. And finally, we also need a proper examination if we are weary and faint. We need this proper examination. Verse 4 is actually a transition to the next paragraph, but it's an important step, I believe, to live by faith. He says, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You need to realize that it is not yet time for you to be weary and faint in your mind. There is still a battle that is undergoing. There's a battle against yourself. There's a battle against your sin, and there's a battle against the devil, our greatest enemy. It is not time for you and I to let our guards down. It was not time for the people in Hebrews 11 to let their guards down. In order for them to live by faith, they had to constantly be engaged in a battle. And so do you and I. Have you let your guards down? You need to realize that it's not yet time. You see, your time of rest is not here in this world. In Hebrews 4:9, we've looked at this months ago. The writer of Hebrews says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, but that rest is not here, and that rest is not now. There are times of rest, there are times of refreshment here in this world, but our greatest rest is on the shores of heaven. It's not time for you to rest. If you're still here, it's not time for you to rest spiritually. Continue on to be a man and woman of faith. How have you resisted against sin? How have you striven against sin? Have you striven unto blood, as it says here? That's a strenuous effort against your own sin and the sins that you see in your church and the sins that you see in your family, fighting through prayer, fighting through activity, fighting so that you and I will not be overcome by those easily besetting sins. These are the steps to overcome a weary and faint heart. And these are the steps to become men and women that can live by faith that we read in Hebrews 11. This is how we must exercise our faith. Look at those six steps again as you go through your day this day. And as you meditate upon them, think about how you are exercising your faith. God wants you to be a man and woman of strong faith. And the only way you and I can do that is by exercising our faith in these ways. Do so every day. Exercise it. Make that faith active in your life. The faith that God has given you. The faith that is in Him. Looking to Him. This will make you and I to be like those that we've read about in Hebrews 11. If you're weary and faint today, thinking that you're in the rat race, even a spiritual rat race, this is how you can run the right race. Strive in this way. Exercise your faith and your godliness in this way. Shall we close in prayer? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to consider what we've just said, and I want you to think about how you are running this race of faith. Can it be said of you that you are living by faith? Or are you just letting faith be a passive part of your life? You might say, Pastor, I have been living this life of faith in a passive way. I have not been exercising the faith that God has given me, and that's why I'm weak. That's why I'm weary and faint in my mind, in my soul, in my heart. This is why worship is not so thrilling to me. This is why my service exhausts me. This is why I'm testy to other people in my relationships. It's because I have not exercised my faith so that it can become strong the way God has taught me through these verses. You say, Pastor, I need to be strong in faith. Would there be one here that wants me to pray for them and perhaps the Lord is dealing with you? Just put your hand up, put it right down. Say, look, Pastor, I need the Lord to strengthen my faith. Amen. Would there be another? I'm going to pray for you. Thank you. There's quite a few. In a few moments, we're going to have a hymn of invitation as we turn our eyes upon Jesus. And I'm going to encourage you. The Lord has been speaking to your heart. You can either in your pew or come forward to our prayer room. Spend some time with the Lord in prayer. If you'd like to talk to me or one of our elders or deacons, or someone else within this place, this is the most important part of your life as a Christian, is exercising your faith so you can become strong in faith. Perhaps there would be one here this morning that says, I've never started this race of faith. And you say, Pastor, I need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And He's been dealing with my heart and I want to trust Him so that I can be a man and woman of faith. Would there be one here that says, I need to know Christ as my Savior? You can also indicate that by raising your hand. And I'd like to talk to you about how you can know for sure that Christ is your foundation for faith. Would it be one? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for those who have indicated that you have been working in their hearts this morning. And I pray that even now in their hearts they are responding and realize that these are the steps that are necessary for them to exercise their faith and to become strong in faith, to have an active, not a passive faith. Oh Lord, I thank you that you've worked in hearts. And I thank you for the precious word of God, knowing that it's not my words, but your word. It's not my spirit or my attitude, but your spirit at work in hearts and lives. Help us to respond accordingly. Father, I thank you for this Lord's day. Move amongst us. Bless the time of invitation now. Work in our hearts, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.